Good morning. My name is Elke Brandes. I'm in the Heaton Lab at ISU, Iowa State University. I changed my title. Can profit push perennials? I'm going to present a subfield analysis that reveals an economic case for cropland diversification. So the overarching question is, how can we successfully integrate perennials into the agricultural landscape for bioenergy, but also for other ecosystem services? Cropland has been expanding, so perennials have actually disappearing in the last about 10 years. Lark et al. Showed in a paper that came out this year that 7.3 million acres were converted to cropland from 2008 to 2012, and hotspots were here in the Missouri, Iowa, and in the Prairie Pothole region. In these areas, conversion happened mainly to maize and soybean, and 77% was converted from grassland. Also, most of these converted areas are marginal land, so that means limited cultivation potential, and then also the study shows that the increase of nitrogen export correlated with this expansion from the Mississippi River Basin. So in the study that I'm presenting, we're focusing on Iowa as a proxy for the Midwest agroecosystem. Now, incorporating perennials has been shown to have disproportionate benefits for ecosystem services, and a great example is the STRIPS project that was has been done in Iowa. It's prairie strips were incorporated in row crops in watersheds, and it showed that, you can see that in the middle picture, when 10% prairie was placed into such a watershed, it reduced the soil erosion by more than 95%. And not only soil erosion was decreased, but also other ecosystem services such as water retention improvement, nitrogen and phosphorus runoff decrease, and biodiversity and also natural predators increased in these watersheds. So that actually shows that there are plenty of good reasons to incorporate perennials. However, money is not one of those. And that actually led us to our question, can economic motivation drive conservation goals in extensively managed agroecosystem? Or to put it in other words, is there ever an economic case for perennials in Iowa? So that maybe in the future, this sign that you might have seen when you are driving into Iowa might in the future look like this one. So to answer this question, we did a subfield profitability analysis for Iowa. We did an analysis retrospectively for the years 2010 to 2013, parts of it really good years for maize farmers, and a projection for 2015. We looked only at areas at fields in Iowa that were in either maize or soy within these 4 years, 2010 to 2013, and we used only publicly available data. Now, the field and the subfield properties, we got them from three different spatial data layers. We used the common land unit to determine the field boundaries, then the cropland data layer to determine the cover, soy or maize. And finally, we used the National Soil Survey Geographic Database to actually get the subfield level that we were looking for. So looking at soil properties on the subfield level, and with these three layers, we ended up with about 3.3 million unique polygons for the state of Iowa. Now for each of these unique polygons, we calculated profit by simple accounting, so the revenue less the input cost. Now, where did we get the data from? We modeled yields by taking the potential yields from the Iowa Soil Properties and Interpretations database, and then adjusted those to the actual county yields reported by the USDA NASS for 2010 to 2013, And then for 2015, we adjusted those potential yields by the trend county yields from the USDA Risk Management Agency. The grain prices, we used monthly maize and soy prices averaged over the marketing year. And then we used the forecast for 2015 from the USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. We also model cash rents by taking the county level surveys that are performed from by the Iowa State University Extension and then adjusted them to corn suitability rating, again on a subfield basis, and we use that as a proxy for farmland quality, which is closely related to rents, and then took the means for each field, so that we got for each field a specific rent, cash rent modeled. And finally, the crop production costs were taken from the ISU Ag Decision Maker. Those are spreadsheets with crop budgets, and they are based on the typical management practices in Iowa. And we scaled those by yields. Now, looking at the results, unfortunately, I have a really nice interactive online map, but I couldn't show it here, but I will give you the link later. So this is just kind of a snapshot of a subfield profitability map, and it looks, this is a kind of a snapshot of 2010. Let me just walk you through the legend. So we're looking at profitability at in US dollars per hectare. And everything that is in green has a good profit. Then the yellow areas are just below break even, basically. And the orange and red are losing money. So you can see that even in 2010, there were areas that were actually losing money, although it was a pretty nice, pretty good year. On the subfield level, so these are usually hidden. Now, let me show you the maps of all the 5 years that I analyzed. So 2010, we just saw a little kind of snapshot of that. Looks pretty green, pretty good. 2011, same thing. 2012, there are some areas coming in here that are a little bit reddish, brownish. 2013, different picture. And then our projection for 2015 actually shows that there are large areas that are not making profit, they are actually have a negative profit associated to them. Now let us look at the profit distribution to get a better picture of what happened. So here's the histograms for soybeans for each of those four retrospective year and then the projected. Soybeans in blue, maize profit distributions in orange, and then profitability here on the x-axis, and the area in million hectares on the y. This dotted line here is the zero mark, so everything left of that dotted line in each of the graphs is the area that is losing money, and everything left of the dashed line here is are the areas that are losing more than $250 per hectare. So it becomes visible that these distributions are shifting to the left, and then basically our projection in 2015 shows that 2.5 million hectares, that is 27% of the Iowa cropland, is predicted, according to our analysis, to be highly unprofitable, saying like losing more than $250. Let's look at the explanatory data. I showed you what data we used before, and these are distributions for each of the input costs as well as the revenue. So input costs are cash rent, it's the gray distribution here. Then crop production costs, light blue for soybeans, I hope you can see it. Yellow for maize following soybeans, and then orange for maize following maize. And then the revenues are the blue distribution here for soybean, the red one for maize. So just to give you a little bit more of an orientation, this is just the $1,000 mark, and we have the area in million hectares here again. Now, just to have a look a little bit at the cost versus revenue here. In 2010, the grain prices were high, so revenue were pretty good, and the costs were pretty low. But then by 2013, that changed, the costs increased quite a bit. And then finally by 2015, those costs did not really decrease a lot. However, the drop in grain prices has decreased revenue, these two blue and red distributions here, and consequently profitability. So that kind of explains our results. Our conclusions are that at current grain prices, maize and soybean are not expected to be profitable. However, we know that there is crop insurance, so this analysis basically highlights the public's role in maintaining private profits through crop insurance, such as the revenue protection products, for example. However, so this analysis might be interesting for insurers as well as the public. And finally, these hidden profit losses that are usually not really visible could provide an incentive for targeted management on a subfield level with low input perennials. Now, what's the use and what's the benefit or the practical application? This economic tool could be for farmers. They could use that data, or they could input their own data from yield monitoring, for example, and find out how management change would make more profit, or at least not less profit for them. Another group could be the crop insurers that could adapt their products to farming performance. And finally, policymakers to have an alternative to the top-down conservation management to achieve conservation goals that could benefit farmers, the public, and possibly also the bioenergy industry. Well, I'd like to thank all these people who were involved or are still involved in the project and helped me. It was funded by the Iowa Nutrient Research Center and the ISU Department of Agronomy and Anonymous Endowment. And this is the link to the map that I unfortunately couldn't show you, or you can find it under this hashtag on Twitter. Thank you very much.
We have time for one question. Yes.
Did you analyze the first 4 years together? Did you look at the balance? My understanding is you just looked at each year, and then 2015 your projections were losing money. Uh-huh. You look at it over the long period, 4 or 5 years period.
Okay, so you mean that I look at areas that were losing money in all of those 4 years, for example? Yeah, I looked at it. I don't have the graphs, but it is not necessarily the same areas that are losing the same amount of money in all years. But most likely in the future, when we're assuming the prices are not rising to those levels, it's much more likely that it will be same areas that are losing same money.
Do you have another question there?
So by adopting perennials, you would just be pushing the farmers to lose less money rather than losing more money by farming it.
Yeah.
Is there another pull to adopting the perennial? Is it cropping systems or set aside that you're talking about?
We kind of leave it open at this point, but in the future we want to analyze what type of cropping systems would make most sense. So now we did a scenario, for example, in the paper that is in review now, to just look at, okay, what if we put something in there that just breaks even, for example, a pollinator program or something that is, that just mitigates the losses. So, but then going forward, we want to look at shapes, at areas, how big are they, how connected are they, what makes sense, is it more for conservation, is it more for biomass, and it would probably just be a mix of everything. That's kind of my personal idea about it.
Okay, thank you.